Let's hit this segment running and gunning. Time for a fast back and forth with Pete and Dave. We're calling Fast Break on the Huddle.
All right, guys, let's get through this once more. Fast Break time at 12:30 on a Sunday morning. Dave, we're starting with you.
12:30?
10:30. Did I say 12:30? 10:30.
What time zone are you in?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to the Twins game after this, actually. I'm trying to pass the time. I'm looking forward to it. So I'm trying to get out of here.
He said, let's get through this.
Yeah, let's get through this. I'm going to go to the game. I'm going to have a brat. Let's finish this up. Good, this is a fast break, right? It's got to be fast.
Peanuts.
Yeah, I'm bringing peanuts for sure. Dave, I was perusing baseball highlights the other night. Came across a video of Ben Joyce. Do you have any idea who Ben Joyce is?
Oh, gosh. Why does that name sound familiar?
Ben Joyce of the Angels. He's a relief pitcher.
Okay.
104.7 to strike out J.D. Martinez to end the game last night.
Wow.
Hardest pitch of the season so far in Major League Baseball. And it got me thinking about hardest pitches in baseball, fastballs in general. The hardest pitch of all time, as you may know, Aroldis Chapman, 105.8. That was back in 2010, yeah. 14 years ago, the hardest pitch of all time was thrown. Nobody's been able to top it since then. So a two-part question for you, Dave. How high do you think we're going to get? Have we hit that figurative ceiling of hardest pitch? Is 105, 105.8, 106, is that kind of where it's going to be, or is somebody going to blow us out of the water as we go forward? And second off, we see all of these power fastball pitchers now, and is there going to be a kind of coming back to the median at any point? Are we going to go back to finesse pitching at any point? Is somebody going to figure it out and try and kind of take that away?
That's a good question. First of all, the fact that Aroldis Chapman is still even pitching, too, at that throwing like he does, amazes me. I would have told you, if you had bet me when he threw that fast pitch, and how long ago did you say?
14 years ago, 2010.
Wow. 14 years ago? If you'd have told me that 14 years from now his arm's still going to be intact and he'd be pitching, I would have told you you're crazy. Yes, it'll be broken. I mean, they always are. We'll get to a point. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a doctor. What's humanly possible before your arm explodes? But I remember, for example, I remember when this is way, way back, I'm dating myself, but when Al Iafredi, who used to play for the Washington Capitals, he had that hard, hard slap shot. You know, this was the hardest one. It was in the 90s. Nobody else was going to do it. Now you got guys, you know, hitting the high 100s, ones and change on the radar. So now technology changed. They went from wood sticks to aluminum to graphite to all that. And I mean, that's going to be what it's about. Is technology going to change? Is training going to change? I don't think we'll see 130 mile an hour fastball at any point. I think probably 110. I feel like 110 is going to be where we top out at. But we'll see it. And what was the second part of the question?
Are we ever going to go back to some finesse pitching, or is it just from now on?
Yeah, I think we will. We always regress back to the mean in every sport. You know, I mean, there's the side. I always go back to, you know, you could go back to football too. Linebackers, we had linebackers that were small, and then they became massive, and then we realized those massive guys weren't as good on the pass rush or getting out to the flats to cover a receiver. So now you go back to the smaller, quicker, more, you know, compact linebackers. And the same thing with hockey. The players were big, then they were small, then they were big, and now you got guys back into the 5'10", 6-foot range again. So I do believe that we always regress back, and I'm sure that there will be a pitcher who will figure out maybe it's a new pitch. Who knows what's coming up? But I do think eventually it'll regress back because you've seen it all already. So they got to do something different.
Yeah, absolutely. Pete, we'll continue on here. Over to you, and we'll stick with baseball for the moment. And make note that the Twins are finishing off their season series today with the White Sox this afternoon. Like I said, I'll be there. Come say hi if you see me. The White Sox are bad, Pete. I don't know if you know this. The Twins are looking to go 11-1 in the season series against them. They've lost one game. And, oh, by the way, that game that they lost to the White Sox, that was on July 10th. That was the last time the White Sox won a game.
Oh,
White Sox have not won a game since July 10th. It's going to be 20 straight if the Twins can pull it out today. It has been 19 straight already. It got me thinking of just horrible seasons for Minnesota sports teams. The Twins have had some down years. Vikings are always kind of middle. They rarely have the really down years, but they occasionally will. Wolves, many, many down years. But Pete, if you had to circle one season that you can remember, or it could be, you know, a little bit of a range of time from a Minnesota sports team where it was just absolutely in the doldrums, just horrible seasons for those teams, worst all time in Minnesota sports. What do you
think? I actually have a really easy answer for that one. I was a part of it, unfortunately. 1983 Golden Gophers. Oh my goodness, we were terrible. I mean, we couldn't have been a worse football team. Now you might have been looking for pros, but I'm just telling you.
No, that's good.
That was the year I think we were 1-10 or something like that. We beat Rice. We thought we were on top of the world, and we come back and we lose to Nebraska a couple of weeks later, 84-13. I'll never forget that number because it was 21 points a quarter, and I remember watching Irving Fryer on the outside. Nobody was lined up against him. I remember looking in the quarterback's eyes, Turner Gill, and he's looking at me and he looks to his left and he sees this guy and nobody's covering him. and we just couldn't do anything right that year. We were terrible. We were beat up. We had more guys injured than you could ever imagine. You couldn't count that high. And it was just one of the awful seasons of all time for Gopher football. But that also ushered in Coach Holtz, who then 2 years later had us going to a bowl game. So that's why I think the world of Coach. He came in, he did an amazing job because we were really bad.
Yeah, no, that's a perfect answer. Dave, you got anything?
2011 Minnesota Twins, 63-99.
Yuck.
That was such a bad season.
Didn't even lose 100. What do you mean?
But I mean, Carl Pavano was your number one starter. That was the beginning and possibly the end of the Nishioka experiment. Mm-hmm. I mean, oof, that was a bad season.
Yeah, getting rid of J.J. Hardy for Tsuyoshi Nishioka is looked back upon fondly as a good move by the Terry Ryan administration, I can imagine.
Those guys, it was Bill Smith. Bill Smith was fired after that year.
Yeah, that's not great. Yeah, there were a couple of those years. I thought you were going to go with the Twins one in that era. I'd have to look it up to see what was the worst of that era. But
I remember that season, and I remember feeling bad for the beat writers because, you know, like they're out. They were out of it by like end of June, beginning of July. And you're like, oh, gosh, I got 87 more games to go and try to find stuff to write about. Anyway.
Yeah, not as fun. Dave, we'll move on to question number three for you. A team gold, a pair of bronzes in the all around and uneven bars for Suni Lee at the Olympics. I believe she has one more event left to go, but mm-hmm. already three more medals this year, of course, to go along with 4 years ago, not quite 4 years ago, but last Olympics, when she did win the all-around gold, as well as, I believe she also won some other medals. I'd have to look that up.
Yeah,
she won more medals at that Olympics as well, up to, so at least four, five, maybe six medals for Suni Lee. I think that makes her the greatest Minnesota Olympian of all time at this point, right? At 21 years old, I don't think anybody can really compete with that level of Olympic success over two consecutive games, mind you. First off, do you disagree with that?
Well, it depends on what you consider Lindsey Vonn, because Lindsey Vonn was born in Minnesota, but then she went to Colorado, and so she kind of considers – I think both of her homes. I think you could make an argument for Lindsey Vonn.
What's interesting is I looked that up because I was under the same impression. She only won three medals. She won
really?
Yeah, she only won three Olympic medals.
There's more chances to win medals in gymnastics.
Yeah.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is there? I mean, there's a lot of different competitions in skiing. You know, the Super G, the downhill, the slalom. There's a lot of different events that you can do that you can specialize in, just like you can with gymnastics. So I don't know. I feel like Suni Lee has the obvious argument going for her. Sure, you can make some arguments, but she seems to have it. Is she already on the Mount Rushmore of Minnesota athletes?
Oh, boy.
He's throwing these out there at you, Dave.
I mean, the greatest Minnesota Olympian, of course. Yep. I mean, won the biggest event at the Olympics for many people, the all-around gold.
She did, but, and this is not to take away anything. First of all, I'll say this. What she did these Olympics after what she's been through in the last few years, I mean, she was told she was never going to compete again because she had a kidney disease.
Yeah, two kidney diseases.
She came back from that, and it's incredible. The all-around that she won was without Simone Biles in the field. And so that's the caveat there if we're really going to talk about it. Now, is that fair? Could she have won it anyway? Maybe. Who knows? I mean, they're right with each other. And Simone Biles is the greatest gymnast, I think, at this point, of U.S. gymnast of all time. So, you know, if we're going to call Olympics or Olympics a sport, I guess if we're judging just Olympics, maybe, you know, Lindsey Vonn also had dominance in other international competitions too, even though she just, you know, she did only had three Olympic medals. As you said, she dominated everywhere she went for a very long time. I think you could, I guess I'd have to say, yeah, I guess you could put her up there on that. I just, it's a small sample size. It's only two games. It's only two Olympic games. And one of those, that asterisk is still there, not to take away anything from what she's done. And she's had a great Olympic Games this time around as well.
Well, that's about all you get. You only get about two Olympic Games as a gymnast. I mean, that's your peak.
Unless you're Simone Biles.
And you said greatest American gymnast of all time. No, Dave, she is the greatest gymnast of all time. You can leave it at that. No caveats. She is the greatest gymnast of all time.
Nadia Comaneci might want to have a word with you.
I don't believe she does. I think Simone Biles.
You know, it's funny, that name does always come up, though, right? I mean, it almost has to.
She was 16.
She was 16. She's getting 10s, you know, and everything. And it was before 10s were something anybody ever got, right? There was something special about that whole thing with her.
Sure, she was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Simone Biles is the greatest.
She is incredible. Yeah. We were watching the Olympics. We've watched a ton of it. I've watched a ton of gymnastics. I actually love the really obscure stuff, too. But if you ever watch Simone Biles do the vault or any of these athletes, the speed that they get coming down that ramp, and then they launch themselves into 17 flips, and they stop on a dime. I mean, like, you know, in terms of physics, I don't know how that works. It's incredible.
Yeah,
it is incredible. So much
fun. 12, 13 feet in the air is what they always say for someone off of that vault. It's pretty incredible.
Hey, I got one last thing for you guys because I know we got to go. How about this? Did you guys see the young lady who in the triple jump who got the first medal ever for Dominican Republic?
I didn't.
No.
Thea LaFond is her name. And so she gets the first medal ever for that country. Her brother is a defensive end for the Naval Academy.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And by the way,
good story.
She went out 49.2 feet. I was a pretty damn good triple jumper. I went to state in that, whatever. But it was like 44. I mean, it's an unbelievable level of which this young lady hit. Absolutely incredible.
There's a fun video you can find of them telling her brother at practice, who maybe, you know, they should have let him watch it live. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
His head coach wanted to do that, man. That was cool.
Pete, I got one last question for you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we'll finish this up real quick. We already hit on Max Brosmer and have hit on quarterbacks for both the Vikings and Gophers. But as we've said, a lot more to football than just quarterbacking, particularly with the Gophers this year. Some of their star players like Darius Taylor are going to be back behind the quarterback running the ball. So my question, Pete, give me, as you've been at practices, you know these things. Give me an under-the-radar guy that's gonna impress this year, that's going to have a good year. Don't give me Brosmer. Don't give me, you know, the household names. Give me somebody that maybe not everybody's heard of.
Yeah, no, that's
don't do what I would do. You do it.
No, No, that's fair. You know, the one thing that did stand out, and I brought his name up, but he's done very little in his career. But that kid, Marcus Major, we're all talking about Darius Taylor. He's great. But and I think we've got a couple of receivers. Somebody's going to pop up out of this. But I think Marcus Major is a kid who all of a sudden he might just hit the ground literally running and shock everybody at what he could do, because I think he had that sort of talent level. I mean, let's be honest. He was at the University of Oklahoma as a running back. That's what they're known for. So I think he could be something really, really fun to keep an eye on for the Gophers.
Yeah. Great answer. I'm going to throw out Anthony Smith on the defensive line. I think the defensive line might surprise some people this year.
Our D line is good. We have some great. That I'll tell you what. We have an outside rusher who is big, strong, fast. He's out of Connecticut. He's done a great job, and I think he will. I think should have a blow up year. I think he's going to be special.
Ja Joyner.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That's all.
I will not try to outdo Pete with obscure football. Go for guys. You win. Let's take a break. Come back. We'll wrap up hour number one. By the way, hour number two, before we get out here, David Plummer, 2016 Olympic swimmer, is going to join us in the second hour to chat about the Olympics, 11:35. So we'll wrap up hour number one coming up next.